The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Monday, February 12th, and we are waking up back-to-back Super Bowl champions as the Kansas City Chiefs, in stunning fashion, defeat the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in overtime. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Sweeney, and what was the most frustrating, the longest, the most upsetting, the most doubtful year of the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era here in Kansas City Chiefs? Ends the same way as a lot of other seasons have. The Chiefs pull off an incredible win over the 49ers, and it's an ugly game probably until the second half, but the Chiefs get it done, and they bring home another ring to Kansas City.
Yeah, really, really an impressive performance, and another gritty one. You have this team, and man, it's been a wild ride these past 5 years, but when they've made it to the Super Bowl, they don't ever make it easy. Not to say that a Super Bowl is ever gonna be easy. You're playing the best of the NFC, and it's just the fact that, you know, this is three times where Mahomes has won where he's been down 10 points and somehow managed to dig deep and find a way. And you got to imagine on the other side, it's got to be gut-wrenching for the 49ers twice and doing it against the Philadelphia Eagles. But look, Kansas City has a lot to be happy about. Parade coming up on Wednesday. And I know that it was a slower start from a scoring standpoint in this game. And I think this is one of the better Super Bowls of all time. It really was this gritty defensive battle that turned up in the second half. And of course, Kansas City ended up on the right side of it.
Yeah, last year was obviously much higher scoring and two much more explosive offenses, but the 49ers were supposed to be that explosive offense. And Right. Man, this Chiefs defense that we have spent all season long saying, if they can just figure things out offensively, this defense is good enough to get you where you want to go. And the defense was tremendous once again against the best offense in the NFL, Pete. Like, we spent all week long talking about all the superstar players that this 49ers team has. And at the end of the day, Christian McCaffrey winds up having a decent stat line in this game, but the Chiefs defense shuts down Deebo Samuel. They shut down George Kittle. George Kittle had 2 catches for 4 yards in this game, Pete. And then they shut down Brandon Ayuk, who comes up with a couple of catches. But for the most part, the Chiefs defense was absolutely tremendous. And they played like the championship caliber defense that we have called them all year long. This Chiefs defense is a unit that I'm going to remember for a very long time.
Yeah, just an incredible performance, really, defensively. I mean, I know that it ended up being 22 points, but he had an extra quarter in that, too, with overtime. And Spags had a great plan. It's unbelievable that a 49ers team that offers all these weapons, they were managed to the point that they were. You know, they shouldn't be held like this. And, you know, I think we in the first half especially, kind of saw a microcosm of what a lot of the season was, which was the defense performing well and the offense kind of not performing up to that level of play, and you having to see the defense really buy the offense time to get going. And it I think was perfect, really, like poetic almost, in the sense of kind of was the whole season in one game, where the offense came on late and the defense just kept on doing enough and was the best part of the team. But you know, it doesn't really matter how it looks. I think that's what we got a little bit lost with this year was, well, you know, these aren't the Chiefs of old. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is have more points than the other team, and the Chiefs did that on Sunday.
And in a game that was loaded with superstar players on both sides, and you know, it's a Super Bowl, so there's celebrities all over the place. Of course, Taylor Swift and that whole entourage of people watching this game. For anyone watching the Chiefs who isn't locked into the Kansas City Chiefs all season long and doesn't know everything about this team like we do, you know who Trent McDuffie is after this game. Trent McDuffie was absolutely tremendous in the Super Bowl. And I can't, the Chiefs don't win this game if Trent McDuffie isn't playing like an all-world cornerback. And he absolutely did that in the Super Bowl on the biggest stage. Like, I can't say enough how Trent McDuffie played in this game for them on defense.
Yeah. The pass breakup early and really, I think was putting pressure on Brock Purdy to make perfect passes. And even when he did make the perfect pass, you know, McDuffie was able to stick his receiver, his assignment, and be right with him. And it had to be frustrating. And I think you saw later in the game, Purdy got a little rattled from it. And I think was starting to miss his targets a little bit too. And I think McDuffie and Snead and this defense, it's a shame that it's going to be really tough to keep the band together. I mean, this was an historic defense. And I think one of the bigger storylines of the offense or the offseason, it's late here, the offseason is going to be, you can't afford everybody. How are you going to be able to maintain this level of play? Because if you can do that again next year, as you load up maybe with some weapons for Mahomes, why not accomplish the first three-peat in NFL history?
Yeah, we'll turn that page. I think once we get past the Super Bowl parade, start focusing on the Chiefs offseason and all of the tough decisions that they're going to have to make. Obviously, a big one for them is going to be what to do with Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed, who also made their presence felt in the Super Bowl against the 49ers on multiple occasions. Sneed had a nice game as well. McDuffie was just tremendous in some really key moments. And Chris Jones, despite the fact that the Chiefs kind of struggled to actually get to Brock Purdy on Sunday night and really hit him and kind of make an impact that way, they were still putting pressure on him all night long. And they were still, you could see several key moments in the games where they were impacting how Purdy was throwing the football. And Chris Jones was responsible for a number of those. Chris Jones had another incredible performance. And, you know, no matter what happens this offseason with Chris Jones and whether or not he comes back to Kansas City, he is going to go down as an all-time Kansas City Chief and as an all-time postseason performer.
Yeah, I agree. And there was an embrace that Peter Schrager of NFL Network tweeted it out after the game of Andy Reid laying on top of Chris Jones. It was really kind of a funny video. And I think both of these guys kind of realized that this could be the very last game that they are working together with. And I think you saw that emotion kind of come out after the game. And we'll see. I mean, I know there's been reports that Mahomes could restructure and wants to restructure to try to keep as many good players around him as you can. But, this short from even the first moment on where they showed Chris on the telecast and during the national anthem, you could see that his emotions were high. And I think he really understands that this could be the final game that he has with Kansas City. And, you know, I think you saw some of that after the game as well. And what a performance, right? I don't know if this happens without Chris Jones and setting the tone up front. And so kudos to him. And if this were his last game in red and gold, what a start to his career. An incredible player and somebody that the Chiefs really relied on in all three of these championships.
And, you know, obviously this Super Bowl goes to overtime. I think it was only the second Super Bowl in NFL history, if I'm correct, to go to overtime. And Chris Jones actually mentioned at the podium after the game that the Chiefs we're happy that San Francisco took the ball to start that overtime. And now this is the first time that we've actually seen the new overtime postseason rules come into play since that 13-second game against the Buffalo Bills, which is why they changed the rule to where both teams get a possession in the overtime no matter what. And as soon as the 49ers had to settle for a field goal on that opening drive, and the Chiefs knew exactly, like, hey, we're going to win this, we're going to go score a touchdown, Chris Jones said that's what they wanted. That was their mentality. That was, we want to know exactly what we got to do to go accomplish it and go win another ring. And as soon as the Chiefs and the offense took the field, it was like, it was the first time the entire game, Pete, that I was like, it's really over. They're really going to go do this right now. They're going to go get in the end zone after struggling to score this entire game, settling for field goals, doing virtually nothing on offense in the first half. And they're going to go win this thing in overtime with a game-winning touchdown drive.
Yeah, the rules have been changed, and now teams at least have to touch it once. And I thought that was a crucial mistake by Kyle Shanahan. I'm not sure why they opted to do that. I mean, it's a no-brainer in the sense, too, that, like, let's say you get the ball first and you score a touchdown and you kick the extra point, and there's no stopping the other team from going down the field and going for two and winning the game. And, you wouldn't see it again. So you really – in that spot, you want to know what you need. And they just gave that advantage away. Like, they just gave it right to the Chiefs. I think you're going to see in the future if overtime does happen. I mean, people are going to kick. I mean, they really are. Like I said, it just didn't make a ton of sense. And I think what I was, I think giving me some nerves, Steve, as the Chiefs got the ball after the Niners and they kicked their field goal, is we had seen like five or six fumbles in this game.
Yeah.
If you fumble the ball in that spot and San Francisco jumps on it, or if they're able to have an interception, the game would have been over. And there were a couple of close calls. There was a fourth down, you know, there was third down. And you wondered if the Niners were going to find a way to stop Kansas City, but not to be. And we had another Patrick Mahomes run late. That's his signature, it seemed like, in these very big games. And then it opened it up for another corn dog like look with Mecole Hardman just getting lost and being wide open for the season ending Super Bowl clinching touchdown.
It's unreal that in back-to-back Super Bowls, it's corn dog is what seals the deal for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, it's Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney last year, and this year it's Mecole Hardman after, you know, he really hadn't been involved after having a disastrous performance earlier in the postseason, then comes up with a huge 50-yard reception early in the game, even though the Chiefs fumbled after that, and then the game-winning touchdown. Just an incredible moment for Mecole Hardman and everything that he has gone through during his time as a Kansas City Chief, and them trading back for him mid-season because they needed some wide receiver help, and all the highs and lows. Just an incredible moment for him as a player and for the Chiefs offense as a whole. Like, Travis Kelce finishes nine receptions, 93 yards. Another tremendous game from him. He was huge in the second half of this one. Had that little dust up with Andy Reid, but Andy Reid kind of downplayed it. Just like, you know, he's a fiery guy. And I don't think we're going to read too much into that. I think Andy Reid and Travis Kelce will be just fine after this game.
Yeah, I do. I do too. And just briefly back to the Hardman point, I think what's interesting to me about it is he went to the Jets and it was a 1-year deal. It happened a little bit late. And the Chiefs did not reach out because I think they realized that they weren't going to pay what he could maybe draw in the open market. It doesn't work in New York. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if other teams are talking to him or what, but if the Chiefs weren't interested in him, I don't know if it's a given that he would have been anywhere, right? Like, I mean, he signed as a free agent, was cut, and, you know, what's the future after that? And so Kansas City found a use for him. They barely traded anything. I think it was a move up in the day three of the NFL draft. And, you know, Kelce and Andy said this after the game, just about his willingness to just keep showing up and continuing to working and trying to block out some of that noise and that criticism. And he was ready. I mean, it's not like he's been a huge part of what the Chiefs have been doing offensively, but he was ready for his number to be called. And again, wide open pass, but he still got to catch it. We saw the Chiefs dropping some wide open passes earlier in the year. Was able to secure the title.
Yeah, just another in what's A dynasty run that is just loaded with incredible memories for Chiefs fans. This is one that is really going to stick with me. Just the highs and lows of this season, this defense, because I'm not convinced this defense is ever going to be as good as it is right now. I don't know if we're ever going to get this version of it ever again. And then for them to seal things on the offensive side of the ball in that way is just something that is going to stick with me for a long time. But just another incredible performance from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm tired, Pete. It's been a long season. I know you're tired. We've had a lot going on this year, and it is very cool that we get to celebrate another Super Bowl championship here at Arrowhead Pride.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been a real fun run to cover. And I think there have been these lingering questions about whether this could be the last year for Travis Kelce, this could be the last year for Andy Reid. Both seem to be eager to continue doing this. Andy was asked at his press conference, would he coach in 2024? Kind of answered, you know, I haven't had time to think about it, but yeah. And a little bit of a unique answer, but it seems like he'll be back. And you already had Travis Kelce, who's now going to be firmly in his mid-30s, 35 when the next year starts, but he's already talking three-peat. So this has been a fun run. I've been covering this team since 14, 18 on, since Mahomes took over. And I think what is the best part is it doesn't seem like it's ending anytime soon. Right? Mahomes now gets three titles under the age of 30. Not a lot of people can say that they have done that. I think it was Montana and Brady. And he's climbing the ranks. And I think if you're going to have a chance to eventually maybe catch Brady, you got to win a lot of these titles before you turn 30. And now he's going to have an opportunity next year to get a fourth before the age of 30, which would be incredible. But long way to go. Until then, I know this team's going to enjoy this week and probably the next couple weeks celebrating this. But we know eventually when it's time to get back to work, they will. And again, they just keep adding to their legacy.
Yeah, Kansas City will be partying all week long. Super Bowl parade's on Wednesday. I believe that's Valentine's Day. So you can get up really early in the morning, get ready for a Super Bowl parade, then go celebrate the rest of the day with your significant other. We'll have everything you need to know right here at arrowheadpride.com. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we're doing right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. And I do want to let you guys know, I'm sure you're going to be disappointed. No marinated takeaways from the Chiefs Super Bowl today. No editor show. Pete's trying to make his way back from Vegas. We just got a lot going on this week.
Yeah, the 8 days in Vegas is a lot of days in Vegas, Steve. So it's going to take me a journey to get back tomorrow. I got a connecting flight. I kind of eats up my whole day. But, you know, we will eventually get back in the saddle and make sure we talk about this game and, you know, when we're rested and relaxed.
Yeah, so no Arrowhead Pride editor show this week, but we've got the full lineup the rest of the week. Abstractual will break down everything about this game on Tuesday. We'll get back to editors the following week, and we'll start peeking at draft coverage, kind of turning the page. But expect every other show that you know would love right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network this week. You can follow Pete on Twitter at PG Sweeney. I'm Stephen Sertz, where you can find me. Again, Kansas City Chiefs, once again, Super Bowl champions with the 25-22 win over the San Francisco 49ers. Let's celebrate this week, Kansas City. We got a Super Bowl parade on Wednesday. We'll talk to you later this week.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.